Your line of clarinets, how did you get into that?
Well, it's very interesting. I started getting into that because I've always wanted to have a particular kind of sound that, while it was a clarinet, I didn't want to sound just like, quote unquote, a clarinet, just like the average sound. And I had always had great help with my teachers because they were all from different kinds of schools. So I had already been exposed to many different kinds of styles of playing, the British style, the American style, and the French style. And because I was lucky enough to have gotten quite proficient from the beginning, and I got my first big break with the Metropolitan Opera when I was 21, I actually was always listening to other musicians and singers and trying to get the clarinet to imitate the voice and the beautiful playing of other instruments. So therefore, I started being much more critical about the tendencies of the instrument, that I wouldn't hear the little idiosyncrasies and the shortcomings that most clarinets have in other instruments. And I started working with my friend about, well, maybe we can add a different kind of dimension to the barrel to smooth out certain notes, that certain registers would get a little bit too shrill, or they wouldn't have the pitch stability. And so I've always been very much into trying to understand how the mechanics of the instrument work. And especially since I started teaching very early in my career, I wanted to be able to explain a lot of the things and a lot of the difficulties that many people have in playing the instrument. And it's because many of the more popular instruments are, the designs have been good, but they are antiquated. Like they are over 60 years old. And I mean, if we think about anything that we use, the technology has moved on. The phones, cars, the medical community, the medical practice, everything. And I had noticed that many people were still sort of like doing what I call working really hard, like a little hamster in the wheel, you know, just going around working really hard and not getting anywhere. And so I tried to find solutions for some of the things, and that's how I started working with my friend Maury Bakun, who was a great acoustician and instrument maker, and we started first by trying to ameliorate the problems of the standard clarinets, and that's how we started doing this, different kinds of bells and barrels with different woods and different dimensions to help with the intonation and the resistance differences. And we started helping our colleagues, etc., with the intonation of their instruments, and until we decided, why, instead of fixing all these other things, why don't we make our own and start from scratch? And that was a great adventure, and has been a great privilege to be able to have the opportunity to work on something like this.
This is a beautiful, beautiful instrument that you're holding right here. How many different clarinets do you have in this line?
Actually, right now we have B-flat. The A clarinet is about to, but in production, we're scheduled to get the A clarinet this summer. So these instruments are really quite new, and it has been very exciting because in many instances, some prototyping in many other different fields, the prototypes work very well, and then when one gets to production, there's always the little quirks that make it not quite as good as the handmade initial product. But we have been very lucky with the meticulousness of the design and the tooling and the work that my friend Maury Bakun has been doing, so that then actually the production is even better than the prototype. So we are very excited about that. And the instrument comes in two different woods, mainly in Grenadilla, which is the black wood that most instruments, most people understand the clarinet to be made, and also in Cocobolo, which is a cousin of, it's another rosewood like the Grenadilla, but it actually is a little bit more vibrant. It's just as hard for manufacturing, which is good, but it is more flexible, and therefore it makes the sound have a little bit more sweetness to the sound.
You're talking about the bell.
Yes. We make it so then the instrument comes, the whole thing, that then you can interchange the bell and barrel if you want to get it, the whole instrument in Cocobolo, like I have in the case, or you can do it with Grenadilla and mix and match, because you get different resistances and different colors. One of the things that we have always liked is to make sure that the instrument is a tool, okay, not just a stamp. Okay, if you play on a mobile, you'll sound this way. But no, the mobile is a tool that will allow you to play and allow you to get to the chords that you want to make. And therefore, the intonation and the way that we did for the mechanism for the smoothness is made in a way that then it allows flexibility of sound. And also with the different woods, then you can personalize the instrument to your liking.
And do you test each one?
Well, at the beginning, I have been doing that. I haven't been able to get to Vancouver, where the instruments are actually made, for a few months. But they are completely, since we have been working really hard with these things, we have a great understanding. Maury Bakun and I were sort of like Siamese brothers when we're thinking about what we want the instrument to do, etc. So I trust him completely on the instruments, the way that they come out very well. For example, this particular one that I have, is the first one that I was able to get my hands on, and that was it. I didn't get to choose among many, you know. So it was just very lucky that everything is going along the way that we are supposed to have it.
So when you pick up a new clarinet, what do you play?
Interesting. I actually play different things. I like to play, you know, just the basic things, the scales, just to hear how it can play softly or loudly in the same color, or how it changes. For example, just a C major scale, two octaves going back and forth. Just to see that it has to have a great response when one plays softly and when one pushes the sound, so that then it retains the body to the sound.
So how many clarinets do you own?
Right now, I don't have that many. I only have 14. Before, I used to have many more, but now I'm cutting down, so I'm okay. No, but seriously, actually, I have way less now. I used to have 14. Now I have only 7. 2 sets of my mobile instruments, and then I have a basset clarinet, which is for playing the Mozart concerto, the clarinet in A with a low extension. And then I have a C clarinet for the different sound in the orchestra. It's a slightly smaller instrument. And an E flat clarinet, which is the smaller one for the orchestra. But, you know, nice and easy. I don't have that many toys. But I'm always looking and willing, because I always like to say that in life there's so many toys and so little time.
Last question. I know you teach as well at Juilliard, Temple, Curtis, and master classes. What qualities are important for someone to bring to playing the clarinet, aside from technique?
The most important thing is a love of knowledge and the willingness to work. The love of knowledge is priority for me, because I really like to teach, and what I like to impart in my students is a love of learning. Because obviously we want to stay students forever, like the Zen mind, student for life, so that then we can continuously evolve and we can have self-criticism and self-evaluation. If we don't do that, then we can get to a particular level, even if it's high, and then it stays. And in life, I have noticed that art is never stagnant, it never stays. Okay, so I feel that we're either getting better or worse at any given moment. So it is important to always have that inquisitiveness and that thirst, and also the willingness to work. Because once you realize that you want to get better, then you have to put in the time to and be willing to do the work to accomplish it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.